Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program. Now, looking at this result, obviously not a good one for the Nationals, but just how big of a blow is it for the Nationals, both at a state and a federal level?
If we start at a state level, it's definitely very damaging. It's one of the largest swings that we've ever seen in a by-election. Well over 30% of the vote went away from the Nationals. I do think it's a sign of a trend that we're seeing, that the state coalition government is starting to look a lot weaker. They looked pretty much impenetrable a year ago when they were re-elected in 2015, but we're starting to see their polling numbers drop, and we've now had multiple issues where the government's running into political trouble, including the greyhound racing ban and council amalgamations, which are two that have been talked about as being major issues in Orange.
Mm. Yeah, obviously very contentious, as you mentioned there, the greyhound ban and some of these divisions coming out of the state party. Looking at the federal level, we have seen some tensions within the coalition, you would have to say. National senators crossing the floor on legislation that was still not going to go anywhere, despite the fact that we had people crossing the floor. So what does this say about some of the tensions that are currently in the coalition party?
Well, there's always been tensions between the Nationals and the Liberals. They are distinct parties for a reason.
Mm.
And I think there's always this push and pull for the Nationals about how much they want to be seen as independent and how much they want to have their own identity, as opposed to being seen as kind of a constructive part of government. And we've seen in the recent past, the Nationals lost a slew of both state and federal seats to independents in rural areas, and a lot of the appeal of those independents was that they were seen as much more independent of the Liberal Party than the Nationals were. So I think the issues you're seeing federally and also the Nationals' kind of rebellion on greyhound racing at a state level are all signs of them wanting to move a bit more towards being seen as a bit more distinct from the Liberal Party than they have at other times.
Mm.
But it's a constant back and forth, because there's this tension that they really can't resolve about wanting to be seen as independent, but also wanting to be seen as kind of an integral part of a government, and basically be seen as, they're not a minor party in the way that the Greens are, who are independent of the Labor Party. But the cost for that for the Greens is the Greens don't get ministries, they don't get cooperation in terms of winning lower house seats in the way the Nationals do. So it's this tension that they want to keep a good relationship with the Liberals, but they don't want to alienate their base.
Mm. Now, earlier this week, we heard George Brandis's comments on the Queensland branch of the LNP. Very, very mediocre, he had to say, in what he thought was a private conversation. Now, do you think comments like this can have ramifications for the New South Wales government, or at least the perception of the party overall?
Well, the New South Wales coalition has generally been seen as a lot more capable and a lot more sensible than some of its colleagues in other states. And we saw that when we had a wave of, you know, the three biggest states in the country all had elections in late 2014, early 2015. And in Queensland, you saw a massive swing back to Labor, and you saw a smaller swing in Victoria, but it was enough to defeat them. We saw a swing in New South Wales, but off a much lower base for Labor, and the Liberal Party was much more comfortably re-elected. And I think that partly does reflect that people like Barry O'Farrell and Mike Baird, despite ICAC revelations and things like that, were able to present themselves as a bit more moderate, a bit more sensible than Campbell Newman or Tony Abbott or the Victorians. So I think it does reflect a bit of a difference in Queensland compared to New South Wales, that party up there has been a bit more extreme. It's frankly a bit more dominated by Nationals elements. They're a merged party. They're not two separate parties, but the kind of rural Nationals element is much stronger in Queensland than they are in New South Wales. So I think that's what that reflects. And I think it's linked to the fact that the Queensland, the Conservatives in Queensland have had so much trouble forming government. They've only won one election since the 1980s.
Mm.
And I think that probably is what is reflected in Brandis's comments.
Now, we're already aware that Mike Baird is going to have to do some cabinet reshuffling. We've got Adrian Piccolo's resignation. Troy Grant has resigned as Nationals leader as well. Now, what might this poor result in Orange actually do to destabilise some of the policy where they're facing? Because obviously, you mentioned there the very contentious greyhound racing ban. Policies like council amalgamations, what kind of effect might this have on some of the state government's policies?
Well, in a practical sense, the government has a pretty solid majority and has a good relationship with Fred Nile's party, which gives them effectively a majority in the upper house most of the time. So in that sense, they can get stuff through. But I do think it probably makes members of the coalition more jittery, not wanting to take positions that that threaten their hold. What I find particularly interesting about Orange, though, was it wasn't a swing to Labor. It wasn't a kind of backlash against them being too conservative. And if anything, on Greyhound Racing, it was a backlash against the Liberal Party for kind of adopting, and the Liberals and Nationals for adopting a policy that was seen as a bit more progressive, even though Labor took a position against it. But it wasn't seen as a typical conservative policy. And we saw, you know, a right-wing minor party win the seat instead, which suggests as well that the Liberal and National coalition needs to be worried not just about its left flank, but also its right flank. And that's a new thing, really, for them to be worried about that. And I think it will affect the way that they look at things. It's interesting in terms of council amalgamations because they're kind of half complete. And Orange is one of the multiple, there's about 11 councils across the state that they're planning to create, but they haven't done yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few of those amalgamations end up getting cancelled. One of the things we saw in Orange was the swing to the Shooters was huge everywhere, but it was particularly large in the areas where they were planning to merge councils.
Now, just perhaps as a final point, it's quite interesting you talk about this swing to some of the Conservative parties. We've seen similar, you know, similar things blamed for the rise of One Nation in the last federal election, the fact that people are turning to a slightly more conservative stance. Does the result in Orange perhaps enumerate some of the importance or perhaps even the dangers of the preferential voting system, given your blog did declare the Nationals should safely retain the seat, and yet we've seen this come about because of preferential voting?
Well, I think so. This by-election is quite interesting because it's one of the lowest votes ever for a candidate who's been successful. The Shooters only got in the 20% range, about 25%. But I think what's interesting here is if this had been a first-past-the-post election, you would have had someone getting elected on 25 or 30%. And I think it's a good thing. Almost half of the voters in Orange voted for someone other than the Shooters and Nationals. And I think it's a good thing that those voters were able to have a say in it, and it didn't just come down to 30 or 25% of voters deciding who wins. There is a broader trend that we're seeing, not so much that people are shifting left or right, but whatever their political persuasion, they're more opening to voting for minor parties. So if you're on the left, it could be the Greens, it can be Nick Xenophon team in South Australia, Independents, One Nation in Queensland, and now the Shooters in New South Wales. And because of that, we've seen more than one in 10 seats at the federal election weren't a race between Labor and the coalition. They were a race between a minor party and one of the major parties. And that's a real growing force that we're seeing is going to become a factor, not just in the Senate, but in the lower house.
Well, Ben, thank you very much. Real pleasure to talk to you about this one today. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you.